The White House last week released the first ever national plan to fight anti-Semitism. The plan comes after a huge increase in anti-Semitic crime over the last 5 years. 2022 was the third time in 5 years where the number of anti-Jewish hate crimes was the highest ever recorded. The FBI reports that although Jews make up just 2.4% of all Americans, they're the victims of over 60% of all religiously motivated hate crimes. The alleged perpetrator of the horrific Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh in 2018 is on trial this week for the killing of 11 worshipers with 6 others wounded. We're talking now about the new official White House strategy to counter anti-Semitism. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about this White House strategy? What steps would you want to see to counter anti-Semitism? Do you encounter anti-Semitic language bias in your daily life online? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chad Goldberg is a professor at the Department of Sociology and faculty affiliate at the Center for Jewish Studies at UW-Madison. He's the author of books including Modernity and the Jews in Western Social Thought. Chad, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Chad, from what you've seen in this plan, what are your reactions to the many different steps the White House is taking?
Well, I have to say that my impression of the national strategy that was released is overall very positive. I think it's well-organized, it's well-thought out. It is a comprehensive kind of plan. And I particularly like the fact that this is the first of its kind. I like that this is an approach that emphasizes that anti-Semitism is not just a threat to Jews, but is a threat to democracy and American values. And I like that it's a plan, a strategy that calls for what they say or what they describe as a whole of society approach. So not just the government, but really kind of all hands on deck approach.
Before we look into some of the details, can you talk about the need for a plan like this? I gave some of the big picture statistics. So what can you talk about the scope of the problem we're trying to tackle here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you summed it up very well. I mean, what we are seeing in recent years is a marked increase in anti-Semitic incidents in the United States. It's very troubling. We know that from multiple sources. One of those is the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which is a civil rights organization that was established more than a century ago to fight anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry. They monitor anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S., including assaults, vandalism, and harassment. And they, in their reports, their annual reports, they have documented a sharp rise in anti-Semitic incidents since 2014, really. The rise continued into 2015. It surged in 2016, particularly after November when Donald Trump was elected president. It continued into 2017. The number of incidents fell slightly in 2018, but rose again in 2019. That was another record-breaking year. And again, incidents declined slightly in 2020, but then reached another all-time high in 2021 that exceeded even the 2019 levels. The most recent report for 2022 shows a 36% jump from the previous year. It's the third time in 5 years that the total has been record-breaking, has been the highest number ever recorded. In addition to the ADL, you've also got the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which tracks hate crimes. This is not exactly the same thing. It's a narrower category, obviously. But the pattern is roughly consistent with what we see in the ADL reports. The number of anti-Jewish hate crime incidents decreased steadily for some years from 2011 through 2014. That's a trend that the ADL welcomed. But anti-Jewish hate crime incidents started to increase in 2015. They rose again in 2016 and spiked about 37% in 2017. They fell a little in 2018, but then jumped again in 2019. And they fell again in 2020, though they remained higher than levels in the first half of the decade. So you're seeing this from multiple sources. I should add that the pattern or the trends in Wisconsin mirror trends at the national level. We know that from the reports of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. So this is something that is happening in our own state as well as nationwide.
All right. A huge question, maybe not easy to answer. Why? Why this resurgence in recent years in anti-Semitism, no matter how we're measuring it?
Yeah, that is a great question. I think as with most social phenomenon, There's not just one cause. There are multiple causes at work. One of the things that I think is probably helping to drive this, we are at a point in history where there are a number of changing social conditions that various groups in our society perceive to be a threat, somehow a threat to their power, a threat to their status. So there is anxiety about growing ethno-racial diversity in America as it transitions from a kind of solid majority white population to a nation without a clear ethno-racial dominant group. We see anxiety about the decline and the percentage of Americans who self-identify as Christian. From 2007 to 2021, we see a decline, a marked decline from 78% of Americans who self-identify as Christian to 63%. There are other things at work. My colleague, Myra Marks Ferry, has argued that changes in marriage and the family have generated a crisis of masculinity in the US and Europe. So it's a time of a lot of social changes, changes that can be perceived as threatening to many groups, that create anxiety, that's fertile soil for anti-Semitism to grow in. And I think on top of that, you've got decreasing public trust in government and in social institutions. This is actually something that the U.S. National Strategy to Counter Anti-Semitism draws attention to. I think it's important. And of course, everybody is aware that there's been a rise in and a spread of misinformation. These are really fertile conditions for a growth of anti-Semitism. I think as people are looking for an explanation and looking for someone or something to blame for changes in conditions that they see as threatening.
Talking to sociologist Chad Goldberg from UW-Madison, looking at a new White House plan to deal with a recent surge in anti-Semitism. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences, 800-642-1234. Chad, you mentioned misinformation going on around there. One of the main parts of this White House plan involves education on anti-Semitism and Jewish American history. Can you talk about what we might see there, why that could potentially help?
Yeah, absolutely. As an educator myself, I think this pillar, this one of four pillars of the strategy, is quite important. It's a pillar that includes, of course, school-based education, but also improving education outside the classroom. And this is a national strategy that also highlights the importance of supporting social research on anti-Semitism and its impact on American society. As a sociologist, of course, I think that's very, very important. I have to say that the points that are raised in the strategy are in some ways quite shocking. It's shocking that in a survey of Holocaust knowledge among millennials and Gen Z Americans, most didn't know what Auschwitz was or didn't know that 6 million Jews were murdered in the Holocaust. And this level of ignorance, I think, really allows for, opens the door for the kinds of inappropriate comparisons that we've seen between things like public health measures in the Holocaust. It opens the door to Holocaust inversion, a phenomenon where Jews are cast in the role of the new Nazis or are compared to Nazis somehow. So it's important for people to learn about this, to know about this. And I should add that the Holocaust, of course, as important as it is the culmination of a long history mm-hmm. of violent anti-Semitism. People should know about that. I could talk more about that, but one other thing maybe I'll mention about the educational component. This is a component that stresses the importance of educating Americans about anti-Semitism, about its threats to American society and democracy, not just to American Jews, but also, and I appreciated this about the strategy as well, the educational component has to do with teaching people about Jewish American heritage, about Jewish contributions to American life, culture, politics. I think that's important too. Otherwise, we get a kind of skewed and distorted view of Jewish history.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. A couple months ago, I came across the statistic that in Wisconsin alone, there's been a 500% increase in anti-Semitic acts since 2017. And in light of that, it becomes even more disturbing when you consider that the GOP-controlled legislature here in Wisconsin wants the UW to end, or they're defunding their Office of Diversity and Inclusion.
Lisa, thanks for the call. Do you see a connection there, Chad?
I do. Yeah, I think that's an important point. And I should point out here that the national strategy calls for addressing anti-Semitism in schools, K-12 schools, and on college campuses. And of course, as I think Lisa is suggesting, as she's pointing to, one way that we might do that is to integrate anti-Semitism into campus DEIA programs, diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility programs. That's something that the national strategy specifically calls for. And I think it's a good idea, at least in places where those programs are not being dismantled by Republicans in office. And in fact, I'm attending a conference in Washington, D.C. next week to discuss how to do that more effectively. So where that can be done, I think it's an important strategy or an important tool for countering anti-Semitism.
Thanks for the call, Lisa. We're talking about the White House plan to fight anti-Semitism released last week. Chad Goldberg stays with us, professor at the Department of Sociology and faculty affiliate at the Center for Jewish Studies at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think can be done, could be done to reverse the normalization, apparently, of anti-Semitism? What responsibility do you think social media companies have in this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation about the first ever national plan to fight anti-Semitism released by the White House last week. Chad Goldberg is a professor at the Department of Sociology and faculty affiliate at the Center for Jewish Studies at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about anti-Semitism and its history in the United States? Thoughts, solutions to share? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Tina is with us in Kenosha. Tina, hello.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Well, number one, I'd like to say that I know the state of Wisconsin has required in world history to be taught two Holocausts, and one of them is required is, or two, I'm sorry, genocides, and one of them has to be the Holocaust. And the other, which I think is can be applauded about the state of Wisconsin. And the second one is, for instance, in Israel with the Palestinians and the Jewish people there, the fighting. And if you're pro-Palestinian, I feel, this is my thing, because I don't like what's happened to the Palestinian people because of what they're doing over there. Anyways, that to me, that's not being anti-Semitic, you know, as far as freedoms or, you know, rights and liberties and that kind of avenue.
Tina, thanks for the call. Tina is right. There is, as of 2021, I think, a mandate on some education related to the Holocaust. To Tina's observation, Chad, about, you know, can you be pro-Palestinian without being considered anti-Semitic? The questions around Israel enter into this debate and this discussion a lot.
Yes, they certainly do. One of the ways that you see that appear in the national strategy is in the brief discussion about definitions of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And the strategy alludes to at least two definitions. So one is the International Holocaust Remembrance Association definition. And then the strategy also mentions an alternative definition, the Nexus document, which is a definition associated with Ken Stern and the Bard Center for the Study of Hate out of Bard College in New York. And the background for that is that there's been some controversy about the International Holocaust Remembrance Association. Some people are worried or fear that it's a definition that could be used to silence criticism of Israel or to restrict free speech. And so others have tried to come up with alternative definitions. I will say that my own view as a sociologist who studies anti-Semitism is that the IHRA definition is useful and I think quite tame. What it says is that targeting the state of Israel conceived as a Jewish collectivity might be a manifestation of anti-Semitism. It gives examples and it says you should make a judgment according to the context. And this is important. Many people forget this about the definition. It says that criticism of Israel similar to that leveled against any other country cannot be regarded as anti-Semitic. And I think Tina would certainly agree with that last point. So it's a useful definition, although of course not a substitute for expertise and scholarship and so on. And again, these definitions are guidelines. They're not meant to be legally binding, and they require some attention to context. I think that the strategy probably made a smart move in not embracing one definition over the other. They sort of sidestepped this debate. I think that's probably a good idea because otherwise they could have gotten bogged down in precisely how you define it, which would really detract from the main object here, which is to counter anti-Semitism and to restore a kind of healthier situation in society.
Thanks for that call, Lisa. Lori is with us now in Verona. Lori, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about my experience with anti-Semitism. I used to teach in the Middleton Cross Plains area schools, and outside of my classroom, a student spray painted in red, "Die Juden, die," and a swastika. And my vice principal at that time responded to me, "Well, you're not that religious, are you?"
And you are Jewish yourself, Lori?
Yes, I am. And I had just had my daughter, and Juden is plural for Jew.
Mm-hmm. Lori, I am so sorry that that happened. And this is something, unfortunately, we are seeing out there. Chad, I think, according to the numbers, Lori is not alone, more often than not.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true. I wish this was an isolated case, but what we're seeing here is a pattern of this kind of thing. And I think Lori makes a very good point. You don't have to be religiously observant to be targeted by anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism doesn't generally distinguish between religiously observant Jews and Jews who are secular. And many people don't really sort of understand this. They don't understand that many Jews are Jewish by ethnicity, by culture, are not necessarily involved in Judaism as a religion. That doesn't make them any less Jewish, and it doesn't make this kind of anti-Semitic incident any less painful.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Lori. I appreciate it. Chad, I want to dig into something we've just touched on briefly, conspiracy theories. They spread very easily. They cross national boundaries on the internet now. Of course, they've been around long before the internet, and it seems like any given conspiracy theory is 1 to 2 steps away from anti-Semitism. Can you talk about the role of normalization of conspiratorial thinking?
Yeah, I can sort of do this in two ways. I mean, so the normalization aspect, this is another one of the pillars of the national strategy to counter anti-Semitism. I think this is a really important element. I think it's very, very important. I think in a divided and polarized political environment, what we see is an increasing reluctance for people to call out anti-Semitism or anti-Semitic conspiracies when those kinds of things emerge within their own political camp. People are more than happy to call it out in the opposing political camp, but very reluctant to call it out in their own. And I will give you just two examples to illustrate what I mean. So I don't want to pick on either side of the political spectrum here. So I'll give you one from each side. When U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar said that Israel has hypnotized the world while doing evil, that congressional support for Israel is all about the Benjamins, which is to say about money, and that American supporters of Israel push for allegiance to a foreign country, most progressives defended her, and some rejected the charge of anti-Semitism out of hand, even though those remarks earned her the praise of former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard David Duke. On the other side of the political spectrum, just very recently, U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert from Colorado tweeted about this U.S. national strategy to counter anti-Semitism and said, quote, "They want to go after conservatives." There's a history of conservatives purging dangerous elements from their movement, elements like anti-Semites, racists, conspiracy theorists, and so on. William F. Buckley Jr. and the National Review played an important role in that policing. when today right-wing legislators like Boebert are unwilling to do this policing, when they are no longer able or willing to separate anti-Semitism from conservatism, then that's normalizing anti-Semitism. That's encouraging and promoting or fostering an environment in which these kinds of conspiracy theories can grow.
And another part of the plan, one of the saddest parts in some ways, we've got this trial going on this week in that horrific Tree of Life shooting in Pittsburgh a few years back. Part of the plan is to improve safety and security for Jewish communities. Can you spend our last minute talking about the importance of that part of the plan?
Yes, this is obviously the most urgent pillar. The most urgent task is to protect life and safety. It requires effective police work that is discussed in some detail in the national strategy. But I would add that it's not only police work, although that's the most important element here. The national strategy also calls for things like improved data collection, again, going back to the importance of social research and anti-Semitism and supporting good, rigorous social research. It also calls for the expansion of community-based violence prevention efforts, which I think is quite important. And it recognizes anti-Semitism as a transnational threat, which I think is also really valuable about this strategy. It includes a call to address foreign support for anti-Semitism in the U.S. We know that anti-Semitism is a problem in many places, not only the United States. And we know that anti-Semites have ties, connections, they communicate with each other across national borders. They cite each other's manifestos and so on. So recognizing the transnational dimension of anti-Semitism as a threat, I think, is important and necessary to improve safety and security for Jewish communities.
And Chad, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Chad Goldberg is a professor at the Department of Sociology and faculty affiliate at the Center for Jewish Studies at UW-Madison. He's the author of books including Modernity and the Jews in Western Social Thought, and he talked to us today about the White House strategy to fight anti-Semitism, that plan released last week.